Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Bill Owens, the Secretary of Defense has now announced major cutbacks in numbers, proposals for dealing with basically the company stores of the Army and other things that would save some money in the defense budget. Is this a gambit on the president's part so that when the negotiations really get going, he says, okay, I'll give you this back if you give me that?
Certainly that's one way to interpret this. We've had a couple of iterations already of the DOD's approach. They don't seem to have formulated, in my view, a consistent policy. As you know, I'm a member of the Appropriations Committee. We're now gearing up because of the subcommittees I'm on, which are DOD and DHS, to have a lot of hearings to listen to exactly what the plan is and what it entails. Now, these are only proposals by the president and DOD. Ultimately, Congress is really going to determine what path this takes. I'd hearken back to Secretary Gates, who probably now 2 years ago said that he could save $150 billion from the base budget of the Defense Department by basically making it more efficient. He then wanted to take the bulk of those dollars and reallocate them. But what that tells you is that even the chief of that agency understood that there's tremendous amount of, if you will, waste in the system, and it can be done much more efficiently. And he did not propose to take the, what I would call, fairly draconian steps relative to personnel and benefits for personnel. So I think there's plenty of places we could go in and trim and not really adversely affect installations or people.
Some of your colleagues on the Republican side are suggesting that with Vladimir Putin's behaving in the way he's behaving, we can hardly afford to lose bodies out of the Army. What do you make of that?
Well, it's hard for me to imagine, to be honest, that we are going to enter into a ground war with the Russians in the Ukraine or Eastern Europe. It does not seem to me to be a very pragmatic rationale. Just think of the logistics issues of moving large numbers of troops and equipment into that arena when the Russians have such a short way to drive, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that as very realistic. Clearly what we need is units like the 10th Mountain at Fort Drum that are light infantry, can move quickly, can be deployed quickly, and can get to a hot spot and stabilize the hot spot. So I think that's the direction generally we should be going, is enhancing units like the 10th Mountain, the 101st Airborne. Those are the units that, in my view, we're going to be needing, or we need to be prepared to deploy as we go forward.
Talk to me about minimum wage, switching topics. You know, the president, it's interesting, the president is in Connecticut as we speak with four governors, not the governor of New York for some reason, and talking about the need for a higher minimum wage. What do you make of this?
Well, I think that it's important to do. I have a slightly different take than I think most of my colleagues do on this subject. If we accept the premise that 70% of the American economy is based on consumer spending, it makes sense for everybody, no matter where they are in that food chain, to get more money to the people who are, if you will, at the lower end of that food chain, because those folks are going to spend it. As they spend it and buy clothes, food, housing, cars, dryers, washing machines, they are stimulating the economy. And to the extent that you can take that 70% and even bump it up a couple of percentage points, you're adding huge dollars into the economy when you have an economy that's got a GDP of $13 or $14 trillion on an annual basis. So to me, this is a largely common sense activity that we need to be engaging because it actually benefits the 99%, but also the 1%.
We hear some Republicans saying it'll bust small business. Is that true?
I think certainly if you do it, there will be some negative impact on small businesses. That can be countered, though, by taking the approach that both Governor Cuomo and the president have taken, and that is to give tax credits to those very small businesses that need that kind of assistance so that they can, in fact, push up the wages of their employees without negatively impacting them. So there's a compromise that can be reached if people want to apply some common sense to it.
Let's talk for a few minutes about immigration. Speaker Boehner said at one point that he thought little by little we could get it done. He would do it bill by bill. Now there seems to be a backward step on his part about this. Haven't the Republicans learned their lesson on this one?
It would appear not. You know, the bulk of the country supports immigration reform very much akin to the Senate bill. And I think it makes sense. It certainly makes sense in my district because we need to resolve, in particular, the ag worker issue. So from my perspective, I want to keep pushing that. If you talk to farmers virtually across the board in the district, they are supportive of this idea, recognize that it's absolutely necessary. So I think this is really a no-brainer. I think, unfortunately, we have a situation where the folks who live along the southern border have captivated the discussion at the national level and are ignoring what I would consider to be the realities.
In California, they want to give people driver's licenses who are undocumented. And there seems to be a sense that a lot of people don't trust them to do it because once they're in the system, they're deportable.
And I certainly, if I were in their shoes, have that same fear.
Me too.
There needs to be a national policy on this, and we need to get immigration reform done so that we give certainty to the immigrants, we give certainty to business, and in particular, we give certainty to farmers.
And this is a trick question. I warn you in advance. But don't you think that there are some Democrats who would rather have the issue than the reform? In other words, right now, we saw in the last election, we had a huge turnout of Latinos who said, you know, you don't like us, we don't like you. Why would anybody want to see that go away?
In answer to the trick question, not this Democrat.
Yeah, I see. Right. That's a good answer. The idea that, you know, we have this sort of subclass of people who have to exist in this country with the fear every day that they could be put on a plane or just into prison or whatever and sent back and therefore open to exploitation by unscrupulous people and everybody else is just it's just painful for me.
Well, you know, it is to me, too. And you know, we are, in fact, a nation of immigrants. And we need to recognize that. We need to deal with, obviously, the flow of illegal immigrants. That is a legitimate problem that needs to be resolved, but you resolve it by having a rational immigration policy and a rational system for processing people. And if they're rejected, then we need to be able to deport them rather rapidly.
Bill Owens, always great to talk to you. When we come back the next time, let's talk some more.
Thanks, Alan.